Merry Christmas. Yeah, it's okay to celebrate still and to keep remembering the wonderful gift of Christmas. We're going to talk a little bit about that later this morning also, and the kind of the aftermath after Christmas now. Because of Christmas, what now? What does life look like? Who are we as Christians because of Christmas and because of what Jesus did? And so I'm excited for this day. I'm excited for you all to be here on this next holiday as well, so we can say Happy New Year too, and glad you could join us with that, and to be here for this this beginning to 2017 here, and looking forward to all that God has for us in the weeks and months and year to come here as well. We want to welcome our visitors. Glad you could be here with us today. Please feel free to sign our guest book back in the entryway if you want to do that. You can also fill out a blue card in your pews. That's a way for us to get to know you a little bit as well. If you have any prayer requests that you would like prayed for this morning in the church service, fill out a yellow card in your pews and then hand that off to an usher when they come around a little bit later, and they will pass it off to me, and then we can pray for those requests as well. Later in the service, there are just a few brief announcements that I want to share with you this morning as we get started. You can see in your bulletin here, there are several, and I'm not going to name all of them, so please look in here for your own information. But as far as the week goes, the schedule, we're kind of back to normal here now this week with everything going on. So those of you who are involved in all the other activities, remember that. One of the great things about the new year is it's a time, a way for us to kind of start over with some new ideas here too. If there are things on here that you would like to be involved with or that you see as a way to kind of get back and get plugged in, Bible study, Bible 101, all those kinds of things, quilting, if you're a quilter, lots of different activities that go on here every week. And so look at that, see what you might be involved or want to be involved in, and remember that we're getting started then again with our regular schedule this week. And then one other thing for this week, any of you that have annual reports that need to be written, please get those done and to Emma by Friday the 6th. That would be very helpful as well. And then the only other thing that I forgot to ask Carolyn about is if there's any announcements for pictures or if we're good to go. Very good. And I think we're starting next Sunday. Is that right? Yeah. So pictures are starting already. And so we're thankful again for the opportunity to do that. Thanks to all who have signed up, and then if you haven't signed up yet, please see if there's one of those slots that would fit for you. If not, talk to Carolyn, and she can find something there as well. Are there any other announcements that need to be made that I missed? And if not, then let me read for you a couple of verses out of John chapter 4 here as our call to worship this morning. An hour is coming and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Let's stand and sing together, opening hymn this morning, Holy, 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 number 134.
Good morning and Happy New Year. Psalm 90 verse 1 says, "The Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations."
shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. Before the gales in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Past our hope for years to come. Be thou our guard while life shall last, and our eternal home.
Isaiah 64:8. We are the clay, you are the potter.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, power of power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my peace. Absolute sway, fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Hear my voice according to your steadfast love, O Lord. Psalm 119, 149.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds.
This is a time in our worship service where we practice what we say the Christian life is about. It's about daily repentance and faith. You know, I was reading an article the other day where this pastor was making the point that those Christians who don't think they need the cross anymore are in serious trouble. We as Christians need the cross. Daily repentance and faith, looking to the cross, confessing our sins, seeing the forgiveness that we have in Jesus is a part of the daily life of the Christian. And this is what we practice here in our worship service when we confess our sins and then receive the forgiveness that is found in His Word. And so I would encourage you to take part in this time in the service now with your words, but in your hearts also, confessing our sins and then receiving that wonderful declaration that God does forgive our sins and receiving that in faith. And so let's confess our sins today. You'll find that confession in your bulletin and also on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." It is my joy and privilege to declare to you today that God has had mercy on you And he has forgiven you all of your sins for his son's sake. The Bible says that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That is God's promise to you today, and he fulfills his promises. And so we thank him and we praise him for that this morning. Amen. This time, I'm going to call on Kurt Tweet to come and read our scripture.
First reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Reading from Isaiah 63, beginning with verse 7. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Second reading is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Galatians 4, beginning with verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God.
Let's confess our faith together then this morning, saying the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen, you may be seated. This time I'm going to call on the ushers to wait upon us. So I think of the song that was just played there. Yesu, Jesus, you are our joy. We thank you for this Christmas season, Lord. We praise you that you came to this earth to give us salvation and eternal life. And so we say thank you this morning. We praise you. That's why we are here, to receive from you, God, your good and gracious gifts. I pray that you would bless these gifts now, that you would use them for your kingdom's work. God, help us to be faithful stewards of all that you have given us. In your name I pray, amen. Before the message, then, let's turn in our hymnals and sing a Christmas hymn, a brief one there, hymn number 36, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, number 36. Oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the child is Lord of all. This was a shocking thing, that this baby laying in a manger was the Lord of all, and that he was born for you, as the last words of that hymn saying. And that's what we're talking about this morning, and the joy, the reality of what Jesus came to do for you and for me. And so I'm going to read out of the book of Matthew this morning, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. As I read these verses, I would ask if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, reading this morning in Jesus' name. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. These are your words, Father in heaven. Many of these words are fulfillments of previous words. God, you are in control, you are in charge, and you always have been. And there is great comfort for us in those truths. And so we rejoice and thank you for that today. I pray, Lord, as we study these words of yours, that you would bless them to our hearts, Open our hearts, open our ears to hear what you have for us in your word and to receive it in faith. Bless this time, we ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, Happy New Year. It's a day each year that is most widely recognized as the day to turn the page, to turn over a new leaf, to start afresh January 1st today. People make New Year's resolutions. They promise to add new routines to their, or new activities to their routine. They promise to do a better job of something, to maybe flip the script, so to speak, to take what was a bad year, maybe, and turn the next year into something wonderful. And that's really the underlying factor behind just about every New Year's resolution. Wanting to do something better implies that there was something lacking previously. Something missing, a failure, you name it. And so for many, New Year's Day is a day of great hope because it's a new day, it's a new year to work toward making your life better, closer to the way that you would want it to be. Now, in no way is my desire today to be Johnny Raincloud or to burst everyone's bubble or to be the Eeyore of the group and remind everyone of how bad life really always actually is, okay? But what do we know is characteristic of things like New Year's resolutions? They fade away, right? We don't hold to them. We might do well for a while, but so often we end up falling short. And some are able to reach their goals, and that's great. But the bigger point here is that no matter how hard we plan for the future and we plan for it to be good, it just doesn't always end up that way. It doesn't go according to plan. And we go through that every year. We can reflect on the previous year and think about how good or bad that was, and then try to make the relevant adjustments, but something will always happen that we can't plan for, or we will fail in our efforts to fix whatever was going wrong in the previous year. And that will often lead to discouragement and frustration, all in this desire to build and to have a better life, to find happiness. And that's often what New Year's resolutions are. They are attempts to fix the parts of our lives that we aren't happy with. And so we make these promises to do better so that then we can be happy. And life becomes this vicious cycle then of disappointment and efforts to find happiness followed by failure. And that's maybe overgeneralizing a little bit, okay, but I think it touches on a very common human experience. We have this idea, this picture in our head of the good life, living happily ever after. And we get excited when a part or most of that picture becomes reality, but then something else happens to tarnish that picture, and a lot of people end up living their lives running around their vision of happily ever after, scrubbing the stains to show up on that picture and then putting out the fires that threaten to destroy that picture altogether. And then hoping that maybe this year those stains will stay away. Maybe this year won't be so hard. Life will be easier. It'll actually go well for us. In Matthew 2, Mary and Joseph are coming off quite a time in their life. They had gone through an engagement, a betrothal, an unexpected and miraculous pregnancy, conversations literally with angels, a hard journey with a very pregnant Mary to Bethlehem, and then the birth of a son, visits from shepherds who worshiped their baby, and then from the wise men later who came from afar bearing costly gifts for their child. We know so little about those first months and possibly years, but what Scripture does tell us give this very beautiful and special picture. The joy and excitement of Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were relatives, was their communication and fellowship with them as they began to raise their two very special babies. Mary, what was life like for her in the months and years right after Jesus was born. One of the Christmas songs out there is Mary, Did You Know? It asks all of these questions about whether or not Mary knew who this baby was. Well, Scripture says very clearly that Mary did know, okay? And I think the questions in that song are mostly rhetorical, so it's probably okay. But listen to Mary in Luke 1. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And it goes on. This is a glowing mother through her pregnancy and after she was born too, we would expect. It's one of my favorite things about all the babies that have been born in our congregation lately. The mothers are glowing. But you think about the joy that Mary had in her son, knowing who he was, maybe not understanding everything about him, but knowing what she had been told about him, and then with the attention that he had been getting from some, and in our text, these wise men had just left. This is a special visit. And the joy and excitement and hope that Mary had for her baby was precious. We don't know exactly how old Jesus was at this time, but forever, however long he had been alive at this point, it had been a special time for his parents especially. And now even these wealthy foreigners have come to pay their respects. What does the future hold? It's pretty exciting. What happens next? An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Really? That doesn't sound very fitting in this story of hope and peace and joy at the coming of the Messiah. Fleeing for their lives? That's part of this? Certainly, this was not what Joseph and Mary envisioned after all that they've experienced. Since when does exile in a foreign land for an indefinite amount of time to escape murder fit in with this picture of peace and joy? It doesn't seem right. And it gets worse. Mary and Joseph and Jesus leave. Joseph listened to the angel. They got out of there. They went to Egypt. Meanwhile, Herod realizes that the wise men pulled a fast one on him. And they snuck out of town themselves without telling Herod where they had found Jesus. And it says he became very furious. And late in his life, Herod was frankly out of his mind crazy. The Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus, in other history books, was quoted as saying that it was safer to be Herod's pig than a member of his family. Think about that. The fact that Herod thought to do this, to kill these baby boys, and then to carry out their murder, every Jewish boy, two and under, it's mind-boggling. But that's not even the end of it for him. That's all that matters in this context, in our text, but these other history books tell us that Herod actually had all of his family killed also because he saw them as threats to his throne. He's a lunatic. When he was about to die, he knew that no one would cry over his death, okay? No one's going to cry for me. So what he did was he had several popular citizens of Jerusalem arrested and killed so that then people would cry. It's unbelievable. The story of Christmas is such a beautiful thing, and out from it comes hope, hope for something better, something new. The page has been turned. This is a new era, and it's exciting. And then this. It's devastating. Do you know why New Year's resolutions tend to fail? Do you know why our hopes and dreams tend to get dashed? Do you know why life doesn't seem to work out exactly how we want it to? This world is broken. It's broken by sin. Now, if your resolution is to lose 5 pounds by the end of January and you fail to do that, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are forever enslaved to sin without any hope of salvation or eternal life, okay? Nor does it mean that if you achieve your goal, you have forever conquered sin in your life. That's not what this is. I'm talking about the reason why this world is marked by disappointment, failure, and unexpected distress. This world is broken, and it's broken by sin. And so we are going to struggle with sin and its consequences as long as we are here. The devil is going to show his ugly face in something like what Herod did here, because the devil loves, the Bible says, to steal and kill and destroy. And it's horrible. But friends, that's the whole reason why Jesus came in the first place. And I want to be clear here, because this is where there is a distinct difference. Jesus did not come to give us our best life now. He didn't. And it's so often where we turn our attention and then we get disappointed when our life here and now doesn't end up being all that it's cracked up to be. And we try to make it into what we want it to be, and then we fail, and then people get upset with God for not doing a better job of giving us what we want now. And the problem with that is that our idea of happily ever after, our idea of the good life, we think too small. Our vision of the best life, of happily ever after to our story, is so mediocre compared to what God has in mind for us. And mediocre isn't even really the best word there, because mediocre is at least something. But the reality is that any hope or dream that we want for the here and now, and it's okay to have those, by the way, but if that's where we invest our ultimate fulfillment and hope, and a clear sign for this is when those things do let you down, if you are devastated and you despair with no hope. If that happens to you, then that's an indication that that thing is what you put, or that person, or that event, or whatever it is what you put all your hope in. And when that's the case, when we invest all of our fulfillment and hope in something here and now, even good things, we're going to be disappointed. And without Christ, outside of Him, we're going to be eternally disappointed. And that's serious. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that if in Christ we have hope in this life only, if Christians have hope for this life only, Paul says we are of all people most to be pitied. If the hope of Christ's coming, if the hope of Christmas is for this life here and now, we are going to be disappointed. 2017, by this world's standards, might be a great year for you. I hope it is. Okay? But it's not going to be for some. Maybe most. And even for those of you that have a great year, it's not going to be perfect. And it's never going to be perfect, because that's impossible. And if you shrug your shoulders and think, I'll take pretty good. Okay, that's fine for here and now, but remember that Jesus didn't come to give you pretty good. And that our hope, our joy, our peace is not wrapped up in the things of this world, good or bad. The things that you hope for in the coming year, that you're looking forward to, that you want to accomplish, they may come to fruition, they may not, but regardless of whether they do or not, they do not affect our hope or joy or peace in Christ, because when Christ came at Christmas, He didn't come to fix our temporal problems now. He came to deal with our eternal problem. He came to give us hope for another life. A life not bound by the brokenness of this world, a hope that is not dependent on what may or may not happen in the coming year. Instead, the hope that Christmas brings is a hope in what has already taken place and what has been promised. It's a hope, friends, in an empty tomb. That's the context of 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, if our hope is in this life only, if Jesus died and that was it, if he was just a man, we are of all people most to be pitied. But then he says, but in fact, Christ has risen from the dead. My hope, your hope, the hope that brings peace and joy is a hope that is found in the empty tomb. Period. It's a hope in a return that may happen this year. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Could there be a better 2017 if this was the year that Jesus came for us? A hope in a life to come, a life not stained by sin and death. That, friends, is what God had in mind when he sent Jesus. He didn't come to give us our best life now. We thank him when life is pretty good. We thank him when he does good things for us in our life now, because that's a gift too. But our hope ultimately is in the fact that he came to give us something much better, infinitely better. And this was God's plan from the beginning. You know, one of the key characteristics of this text is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy through this, that God was in control the whole time. In the chaos of an emergency flight to Egypt, all of that was to fulfill, it says, what the Lord had spoken out of Egypt, I called my son. That's from Hosea chapter 11. But that was part of a prophecy that was bigger than that. It's a reference also to the Exodus. When the nation of Israel, God's son, is how they were called, when the nation of Israel was delivered from Egypt, and what the Exodus becomes then, okay? Follow with me here. What the Exodus becomes then is a marker that shows us that even in that, okay? That terrible time of slavery, all of the plagues, the Red Sea, the wilderness wanderings, even at that time, there was something much bigger going on. God was using that time to point to the Messiah that would come someday, who himself then would return from Egypt to the promised land. The death of all of those infants, terrible, okay? Not what God wanted. He didn't take pleasure in that, but he still was at work and in control of the situation. It says the prophet Jeremiah's words were fulfilled. A voice heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Sad. Ramah was the place where the Israelites gathered when they were brought into exile because of their sin. God didn't do this to these babies. This was a very real and horrifying consequence of this world broken by sin. But God was still in control. And he was using it ultimately for his good, which we can't always understand. But that's okay. Because if we could understand everything that God does or everything that he allows, he wouldn't really be God. Even later in our text, when it's time for this family to go back after Herod died, it still wasn't really safe in Judea, it says. But God is still in control and comes in a dream again and sends Joseph and the family to Nazareth, which was also to fulfill Scripture. This was a part of God's working through all of history, not just here and now, but for all of time. In this case, scripture that referred to the Messiah coming from humble means, from a despised and insignificant place, because he wasn't here to give us our happily ever after now. He came to give the Christmas story a happy ending that includes you and me. Because of what Jesus did when he came, when he grew up, when he suffered, when he died, humbly, nobody thinking anything of it, the Son of God was working out your salvation, was giving you eternal life. It didn't look like it. It certainly wasn't the victory that everyone envisioned. It wasn't the happy ending that everyone thought it would be. They were expecting something that looked like it would be good for here and now on this life. But Jesus was doing in the humility of that, in the suffering, in the pain, the seeming defeat, he was winning a victory that transcends anything that this world has to offer. He was winning a victory over sin and death itself when he rose again and gave us eternal life. That's the happily ever after of the Christmas story. And it's way better. It's way better than anything we could expect or hope that this world has to offer, even if it looks very different. So no matter how 2016 went, no matter how 2016 or 2017 goes for you, or the rest of our time on this world for that matter, good or bad, we have hope for true eternal happiness and rest, free of disappointment. Imagine that. A life free of disappointment and hurt and filled with love and joy. It's found in the empty tomb. It's found in Christ who lives today. Amen. Let's sing a song here as we prepare our hearts for communion. Number 564, God will take care of you. Number 564. when I said that Christ's coming and the way that he came and how it's different from what people might have expected and what he gives is different than what people might expect. Communion actually has a lot to do with that, because God in his grace and wisdom has given us his saving word in such a way that we receive it, and that we receive it in faith. And it comes through his word, through the pages that we read, but it comes also through something like communion. This is a way in which God brings his words of salvation, where we participate in it, the Bible says. It's a participation in the body and blood of Christ. It's a participation in his saving work on the cross. And so it's a beautiful thing. And it's here then at the table where we find the reality, the truth of his work, which was to come to save, to give us hope. Not for a better life now, even though he does bless us according to his will, but a better life, a new life, an eternal life. And that's what we find here. And so with that in mind, hear these words of exhortation. Dear friends in Christ, in order that you may receive this holy sacrament in a worthy manner, you should carefully consider what you must now believe and do. From the words of Christ, this is my body which is given for you. This is my blood which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You should believe that Jesus Christ is present with his body and blood, as the words declare. From Christ's words for the forgiveness of sins, this is where it is here. You should also believe that Jesus gives to you his body and blood to strengthen your assurance that your sins are forgiven. And finally, you should do as Christ commands you when he says, take and eat, drink of it all of you, this do in remembrance of me. Remember Jesus when you come forward this morning. If you believe these words of Christ and do as he has commanded, then you have properly examined yourselves and may eat Christ's body and drink his blood in a worthy manner. And then you should also, and this is important too, unite in giving thanks to Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for so great a gift. Yes, it's that great. And you should love one another then with a pure heart, and thus with the whole Christian church have comfort and joy in Christ our Lord. To this end, may God the Father give you his grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's have a time for a silent prayer, and then I will lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had eaten and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This time, all things have been made ready, so I'll invite the helpers, assistants to come forward, as well as the ushers. The ushers will direct you. Just a reminder, again, we are still without an altar rail, so you can fill in on the sides just like normal. I would encourage you to not kneel unless you really, really want to, but feel free to stand. We kneel in our hearts, and we can go about it that way. If you need assistance, let us know. All are welcome and invited who are trusting in Jesus, who are looking to him and him alone for salvation, for forgiveness.